This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. Some technologies just hang on. Their time is past. Their day is done. BFM's favorite has been Culture Pop's Matt Armitage is here to talk about the sad demise of the VHS, which was quietly killed off last week. And I believe you want to have a spooky start for today's show, Matt.
That's right, video. VHS, the format that revolutionized my childhood, has gone. The last company still making the machines, the Funai Electric Company, was set to end production at the end of July, so just a few days ago. Now, the company hasn't said much apart from stating that it was getting difficult to source all the parts to make the machines. But the biggest surprise for most people is that they were still making VHS players. I know quite a few people who still have, you know, dusty video cassettes hanging around, you know, in the attic and in the storeroom. I'm not sure where it is now, but I think I have the French urban movie classic La Haine still hanging around on VHS somewhere. Yeah, I do have it on DVD as well, in case, you know, I actually might want to watch it. I think one or two of my friends might still have functioning VHS players at home as well.
I think I have a couple of X-Files VHS around lying around in my room.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're going to talk about X-Files VHS in a bit as well.
Anyways, do you think all of our listeners know what a VHS player is, though?
Much as it scares me, I think there may be quite a few of our listeners who think that Laserdisc is Stone Age technology, the video cassette. You know, I'm not particularly nostalgic about technology. I accept that formats, you know, they come and go, although I'm pretty annoyed that Minidisc didn't make it. And I do accept that some formats simply shoot themselves in the foot. 8-track, for example, tried to battle it out with cassettes in an era where progressive rock bands were making sprawling triple album rock operas with a couple of dozen songs, and, you know, they were asking them to condense them down into 8. So it's not going to work.
Yeah, if you're not nostalgic, then why the fuss about VHS then, Matt?
Because it's hard to believe what an impact video had on the 1980s. I mean, I know VHS and Beta actually came out in the 70s, but it was really for the children of the 1980s that it really had an impact. And, you know, we had tape cassettes by that point, so we could record music from a vinyl record or from the radio. But TV and film, there was no way that you could watch stuff again, you know, when it was broadcast. It was simply gone. And it's hard to believe in an era when, you know, Netflix gets streamed into your home, that when my parents were kids, you either watched a film at the cinema or it was literally gone forever. There was no way to ever see it again. A film club or a repertory cinema might screen it again sometime, but to watch it, you would have to get an actual physical celluloid read and watch it from a projector. Sorry, my voice is going. And as for TV, back then, TV was actually seen as being disposable. Most TV networks until the 1980s didn't even archive their own shows because the film it was shot on was expensive and it could be reused. So a lot of shows were simply broadcast and wiped and something else recorded over the top.
So
I think most of the Doctor Who episodes from the 1960s simply don't exist because they've been recorded over again.
So just what, people didn't want to watch movie more than once?
Well, you know, you'd have to watch them over and over while they were running at the cinema. You know, you'd hear about kids going out to watch John Wayne movies and watching it 4, 5, 6 times in the same day, and they'd watch it for the 2 or 3 weeks that it was running at the movie theaters. And as for TV, you know, most of the TV execs never dreamed people would want to see episodes of a soap opera or a sitcom again. And in fact, at that time, you know, reruns were looked down on. It was seen as something that channels did to fill airtime, to save costs. And you'd physically groan if shows or movies were repeated too often. And now we actually have entire nostalgia channels that are dedicated to showing you things that you've already seen.
Now, why was the VHS doomed from the start?
I don't know if you remember renting videotapes as a kid. Yeah,
Speedy Video, of course.
Yeah, there was always that sign saying, please rewind on them.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. Apart from fast forward and rewind and pause, you were pretty much stuck. You know, you couldn't skip or easily watch a segment again. You couldn't just slide the cursor over the screen like on YouTube and move to wherever you wanted in the show. And when you actually wanted to return it to the video store, sitting there and waiting for this thing to rewind, because it felt like it took forever. I mean, some of the longer movies took, you know, about 10, 15 minutes, didn't they, to actually rewind to the beginning.
I remember buying, like, you know, a small rewind tape device that it does is just to rewind tapes. I had one of those.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And certainly as well, to start with, buying movies on video was really, really expensive. In the UK, we didn't have the same kind of level of piracy that some parts of the world had. So, you know, if you wanted to watch films, you would have to go and join a rental service.
Yeah, but why rent? I mean, didn't people want to own the movies?
Well, the film companies, with their usual foresight, imagined that no one would want to own a film. So they priced them for rental at around $100 a copy. And that sounds like a lot of money now, but it was an absolute fortune 30 years ago. Mm. And every copy came with one of those FBI warnings that threatened you with a fine of, you know, NASA's space budget if you illegally copied the movie by, well, I don't know, borrowing your uncle's VHS player while he was on holiday and maybe linking them with a dodgy AV cable to run off something that made, I don't know, Top Gun look as though it had been filmed in Iceland during a blizzard.
And the irony of it is that even the pirated VHS ones had those warnings as well.
I know, yeah, that's the best thing. And even when DVDs came out, the rental market still stayed strong.
I mean,
I remembered a lot of inebriated Friday nights standing in Blockbusters around midnight, arguing with my suitably refreshed friends about which film that we'd rent and watch. And inevitably, you'd go for a kebab and you'd search for the immortal After Hours off license, and then, you know, you'd get in the get home and crash in a heap on the living room floor, and you'd suddenly wake up around 5 a.m. with the heating off and the world around you as some kind of beige blur, and you hadn't even watched the thing in the first place.
All right. So if we're following this train of thought, your mid-20s hangover brought about the end of video as a format.
I wish I had that influence, but let's face it, quality was a factor.
Yep. You
know, when you hired a video that had already been watched dozens of times, there would be moments when the sound or the picture would drop out. And of course, there was that obsession with everything being digital in the 1980s and 1990s. Digital looked and sounded better, or so everyone thought. You know, clocks and watches were digital, phones were going digital, cars were starting to have digital displays. So it was no surprise that people wanted a digital way to watch film as well. And it had already happened elsewhere. CDs were starting to take over from vinyl and cassette in the music scene. Mm. So it was time for a digital format.
Is this another one of those, you know, analog is better than digital arguments?
I mean, quality-wise, sure, but I think it was a lot more about control. You know, VHS was this incredible thing. It was the first time you were ever able to binge-watch shows. You know, shows like X-Files, Northern Exposure, Twin Peaks, they were made for the VHS generation, you know. They made so much more sense when you watched them on cassette. You could see all these threads running through them if you were recording an entire season and then just watched it back end to end. You know, you could piece together all the scattershot reruns of shows like Star Trek and Doctor Who that would just appear on obscure channels late at night.
Mm.
You could compile all your favorite Baywatch moments if, you know, that was your kind of thing. And that's kind of why video survived for so long after DVD came along. The movie companies hated VHS for the same reason that they hated cassettes. It gave consumers the power to make their own copies of content and mess around with them. So we never actually had a big thing with DVD recorders. You know, just like we didn't really have recordable CD until personal computers came along and made CDRs commonplace for data storage.
Mm.
So in the same way, the film companies ignored both the problem and consumers, what consumers wanted, until, you know, the internet came along and basically destroyed a huge part of their industry.
Now, we've just spent the last 10 minutes listening to your rant about the, you know, extended adolescence. How are you going to convince them how important video was?
Okay, very easy. I'm going to send everyone to 1980s Romania, when the communist Ceausescu regime was at the peak of its economic and social bankruptcy. So even in terms of the Eastern Bloc, Romanians were pretty isolated from the rest of the world. Basically, what they knew about the West came from pirated VHS tapes that were quickly dubbed into Romanian. So many of the hundreds of films that exchanged hands on the black market, well, hundreds of titles that exchanged hands on the black market, were translated and dubbed by one woman, a woman called Irina Nistor.
Wow.
And even though few Romanians ever learnt her name, it was her voice and her translation skills that made her a national folk hero. And the influence and the widespread distribution of these movies is actually credited as part of the reasons for the revolution that overthrew the Romanian government in 1989. And that story has actually been made into a documentary called Chuck Norris versus Communism, which came out at the beginning of this year. It got its title because it was Chuck Norris's movies that were the most popular in communist Romania. So if you want to see how important, how game-changing VHS really was, go and see how to watch the film. It's made by the public broadcasting system in America, so go to pbs.org to see details of the film. And, you know, say a little fond farewell to the video cassette. Hold a minute silence for all the things the humble VHS introduced you to when you were a teenager.
All right. I'm definitely going to check out Chuck Norris versus Communism. Sounds like a real epic adventure already. I've been speaking to Matt Armitage from Culture Pop. We'll be right back with Geek Squawks, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.